actually a bonus linebacker, and he's picked it up and run with it. So he's still in that battle with D. Alford. But watching Billy Bowman, Casey Washington, Brandon Dorlus, some of these young guys, man, there's a lot of talent on the Falcons side.
I think we knew after watching practice just with the Falcons' own team that Drake London has been a problem. He continues to be a real problem for everyone on Tennessee. And then on the other side of the ball, couple wins, couple losses for A.J. Terrell as well. He was heads up with Calvin Ridley pretty much all day. Again, couple wins, couple losses, but I think I'll take that. Ridley's a real dude.
Yeah.
And A.J. Terrell stood tall.
Yeah. I will say this one thing too, Steak, and you know where my heart lies. If you want to watch somebody who might be the best in the world at their craft, watch Chris Lindstrom run wide zone. He's the best in the world at running wide zone.
Detail that a little bit. What is something in their car when you say wide zone?
Okay, essentially he's being asked to reach one man over, all right? So yep. If he's lined up and they're running, you know, wide zone to the left, he's trying to reach a guy that's over the top of a Ryan Newsel at center, and he's trying to press that front side shoulder and kind of get that cutoff block for the cutback lane for Bijan Robinson. And when he's on the front side of it, he's pushing that outside shoulder and trying to get those guys north and south and start to essentially overtake them and then eventually push them towards the end zone. He's the best in the world at it, man. He is the best in the world at what this offense asked him to do.
Yeah, and I think the other thing about that, because I saw a couple of plays, is that Bijan has such good cuts. You're talking about cutting two or three men with one jump cut, and it's just like if the blocking is there, that hole yep. is massive because he's able to get so far with each cut. It's incredible.
He has this weird kind of relationship as far as vision goes with Chris Lindstrom's feet, where you can see that he's watching right. Chris Lindstrom yeah. to be the one that lights the fuse. And as soon as he sees Lindstrom's yeah. head get into position, he's like, all right, done, gone, bye. It's insane.
Yeah, I think two, outstanding talents that are top 10 picks that are about to kind of emerge on the national scene at a much higher level. Bijan Robinson could be the best back in the National Football League, and Drake London could be the best wide receiver. And I don't think that's hyperbole. I think that is accurate. It's just a matter of whether their numbers will match up and where the offense is. It's why we keep saying, listen, we've got a veteran offensive line and two absolute superstars. I'm worried about depth at the second wide receiver position, obviously with Mooney. Washington has looked yeah. good, though, stretch the field.
But Ray's looked good, though.
Ray's been very solid. Ray has a rapport with Penix, too. You can tell he really, really trusts Ray. And again, we talked about this earlier. I think Casey Washington might be the darling yep. of camp. Yep. I mean, that is a guy who made the initial roster last year, was kind of up and down, not much as far as the offensive output, but man,
he's had the best camp as well.
He's an all-look team, I can tell you that. He's the first guy off the bus at wide receiver.
I've also been on the David Sills train for a while, but it looks like he's having his best camp, in my opinion. I want him to make this team so badly. I think he's so good against zone. I think he's so good in the shorter routes. I don't know if he's a deep threat necessarily.
Yeah. I'll tell you this
much. He's
got
good hands, big body. He can get it.
I'll tell you this much. He excels the most, David Sills does, when Kirk Cousins is at quarterback. When Kirk Cousins is at quarterback, you're like, all right, here it goes. He's about to feed the pill to David Sills.
How did Kirk Cousins look yesterday?
I thought he looked great. I mean, he looks like he's one of the three best quarterbacks in the NFL, and I think he is. And you could see the Tennessee defense, because he's playing against twos for the most part, that they had a little bit of fall off. Right, but when he's protected, he's throwing it, son.
Let's do a quick 9-9 while Mikey's here. We got a minute to go, and let's do it. The less time devoted to the absolute just desecration, how about that word, of Spencer Strider and the Braves last night in New York. They lost 10 of 11 coming in. They just popped six home runs and just take it to the Braves.
Yeah, it's just really frustrating for Strider. We knew how good he once was. Obviously still working back from an injury, and maybe it's just one of those things where it's going to take him a little bit longer to get back to it. The frustrating thing is he wants it so bad. Strider
right.
wants to be that guy again so bad. It's just not there. We saw it again last night. The strikeout totals in which he used to excel, they're not up. And guys are hitting home runs off of him. You mentioned three more last night in four innings, including one, his first one to Pete Alonso, which gave Alonso the Mets' career yeah. home run record.
Head of Darryl Strawberry, correct?
Tough. Kind of a weak record.
It's not great.
A topic for another day.
Yeah, it's not
it's
great.
A weak record.
Braves tonight, Carlos Carrasco and David Peterson.
Cookie.
Big NFL story. I guess James Cook signed this morning. Is that?
He practiced yesterday. We talked about it. I was like, that means the contract is close. And sure enough, 1 minute later, they're like, James Cook has signed a contract.
$4 and $48 million, so 12 on the average. But again, another pretty good number guaranteed. $30 million of it.
He's
comes
a solid
guaranteed.
Player, man. Yeah. Good player.
Also, Hawks' schedule is starting to leak out a little more. They'll play on MLK Day, as it should be, against the Bucks. January 19th at State Farm Arena. That'll be on Peacock. A lot more national games coming for the Hawks, I'd imagine, for sure.
Yeah, I think it might be something where they want to see it, and they might be get flexed a lot more into that national spotlight. But I'm a little agitated that it's a Peacock-only game, to be honest.
I know.
The Hawks
I know
on MLK Day should be nationally televised.
Do you pay for Peacock?
I do, because I bought it last year for the Summer Olympics.
Yeah. A lot of those free trials be kicking up around that time.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Mikey, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks,
Falcons
brother.
And Titans again today. Don't leave your boy hanging.
I didn't see him. He's
same,
my guy, man.
Same deal
that.
Today, scrimmage?
I think so. Yeah, I'm hoping we see some goal line today.
Okay.
Little pads popping. Let's see what happens.
Hey, when we come back, I've told Abe I want three guaranteed things that will happen in the NFL this year. Three guarantees. Obviously, I got mine. We're not going to mess around. We got that coming up. And lots more live from Falcons and Flowery Branch. My name's Steak. He's Abe. It's the Steakhouse on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. My job is to give you the fastest 2 hours in radio. That's why we get the Steakhouse from 9 to 11. Morning, guys. They get their four. Your guys, you get your four. Dukes and Bell, you get three. That's right. You get three. That's all you need. That's all you need to be number one. 3 hours. Just make it happen. Hope you got a nice little bonus. Was there a little something extra in the coffers the other day? Number one in the market.
They get a light.
Andy
nice
and Randy.
And then they break us off a little bit.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I know some guys in the past that producers were not tied to bonuses that did not take care of their producers, and I was like, what kind of team is that, right? That's not a team effort. Team takes a whole village to build a 3-hour radio show. And Duke Samel, those guys still get 6-7 hours in the afternoon or not?
They're down to four.
Oh, they're four.
They're down to four now.
You know, Mike Bell's when I would work with Mike or just, you know, manage Mike, and we'd have guests maybe he didn't want. Or sometimes, you know, there'd be an extra host or something. He coined the famous line, which I think deep in the heart of most sports talk radio guys, actors, musicians, Mike Bell's famous line. You know what it was?
I don't.
More of me, more of me.
Okay.
That's what he's essentially saying. You know, there's not. He's the only guy that could get 5 hours and say, I still need more. More of me. More of me. Something I try to tell my wife, like, how lucky are you? And I said, more of me, more of me, right? She doesn't totally see it.
I was going to ask. How's
I
that
sometimes
go,
wake up
go
and
over.
I go, how psyched are you? And she'll be like, what are you talking about? It's like, how psyched do you be like a Saturday or Sunday? Like, you get to spend, like, almost the entire day with me. I mean, it's got to be a thrill. And she just looks at me. And just
she's
like,
the only person wishing it was a weekday again?
Yeah, that's where Mondays come too slow for her. But anyways, why are we talking about that? Oh, we're just talking about the 2 hours here. We're going to talk some NFL. I loved hearing you and Mike kind of break down practice a little bit, winners and losers from yesterday. Jalen Walker, anything to report there? Running first team. There is some talk that he's having some issues shedding blockers a little bit or just been a slow start for him. You buy any of that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I do buy it only because he missed so much practice at full speed and so much contact there that he is a little bit slower to start off. But I think I'm comfortable with that as well. I think you're going to find, Steak, that this is much less of a we're just counting on the rookies to get pressure than maybe a lot of people thought.
Right.
I think you saw Ebikadie. I think you've seen Brandon Dorlus. I think we're not even considering yet what Leonard Floyd is going to do because we haven't really seen him in the performance there. So I think this is going to be a lot more of a pass rush group than it is just relying on one or two
Leonard
guys. And that's important.
Leonard Floyd over under sacks 7.5. Over or under?
Boy, I think that's a pretty good number.
Yeah,
Steak.
Well, that's what I do, dude. That's what I'm here for.
I'll take the over.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't seen him yet either. So I'll take the over. I don't think he's getting double digits. I wouldn't be surprised if no one on this team has double digits. I think that's okay, though, if you get a bunch of guys that are in the 6 to 8 range. And I think Floyd and Pierce and Ebikadie are all certainly capable of that range.
So Ebikadie, I'm going to set him at 6.5. Where are you going with that?
Over. I'm going to take the over on.
What are you doing with James Pierce Jr.? His over-under is 5.
Over.
So everybody's just over. Just
what? You put them at 5. If you had gone to 7.5, I would have said under.
So they all should be at 7.5, that 3, to make it a fair bet in Vegas?
I think that's a good number.
Okay. I love to set over-unders on, you know.
I'm also going to be wildly optimistic and just take the overs right now. And then maybe.
Feeling the vibe.
Maybe we'll sacrifice that bet later.
Yeah. You're not a gambler, though, are you? Pretty tight with your money. You try to be smart.
Yeah. Every once in a while I come across a line I like.
You don't have a lot of vices. Is that safe to say?
I find ways to not fall into some of those vices.
Yeah. So you're disciplined when it comes to
that? Yeah, I'm straight-laced. I'm disciplined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any kind of wild side? When's the last time you went out with your buddies and you're just like, dude, I don't even know what happened last time. That was wild.
I mean, I got, you know, at the wedding that I went to in New Mexico, I say this.
Yeah.
I was not the drunkest person there, but I drank more than anyone else.
Okay.
And I feel pretty confident
saying
that.
How about on that cruise ship with the family? You get a little cookie?
I get 15 drinks a night, and I use all 15.
Wow.
All 15.
15 a night?
Yeah.
I'm watered. One of those things.
No, they're decent.
What's the best food item on that cruise consistently?
This is going to sound real dumb.
Yeah.
The morning hash browns.
Huh.
I get like 30 of them.
The morning hash browns like, gets a.
They're like 30 of them.
Do you upgrade to those nicer restaurants too while you're there? You just go with whatever that's on the plan. Aren't there, like, upgraded restaurants?
Yeah, there's a steakhouse. There might be a seafood restaurant or Italian.
Okay,
most of the time, we just sit in the regular dining room.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Yeah, most of the time, we're in the regular.
I'm just trying to learn more about you. Who knows how long we're going to be. Those of you who don't know, Sandra Golden is on leave taking care of her mom, who's very, very ill. We're not exactly sure when she's going to be back. All thoughts and prayers. And if I'm going to be working with Abe on a regular basis, I just think we have to build some kind of a baseline, right?
Yeah.
Baseline connection. We played some pickle. About a month ago, right? My game has elevated considerably since then.
I haven't played. I don't know.
No, I've played
once or twice since. That's all.
Yeah. I'm ready to whoop you if we get
all
back
right.
out there.
Well,
so
we'll
maybe
see.
This weekend.
I'm running a half marathon this weekend.
Listen, buddy.
I'm not taking chances.
Is that the Publix half marathon?
No, no. This is the Alien half. The Alien 13.1.
Where is that?
Roswell, Riverside Park.
Uh-huh.
It's a night race on Saturday.
Oh, nice. What time does it start?
7 p.m.
When's the last 13-mile run you've had?
I did just a practice half marathon last Tuesday.
Okay. And carb load the night before, or are you carb
load
after?
I'm starting carb loading tonight at Trivia, Mellow Mushroom,
uh-huh.
Chamblee Dunwoody.
So you're going hard on the pizza tonight?
Yeah, probably get a medium pep.
Okay.
Medium pep.
Yep. All right. I think we'll explore. I mean, I feel like we're going to be spending some time together. So I want to make sure that, you know, I know just enough, but not too much.
But if you want to play Sunday morning, maybe my legs feel okay.
Okay.
They
well, listen, I don't
won't.
Want excuses. The last thing I want you to come out there, get whooped, and be like, bro, I ran a half marathon. You say, I don't care.
I would say
as,
that.
As Joe,
I will be honest. I would say that.
My my kid's favorite line, Joe Mazzulla, head coach of the Celtics. You know this line? When they said, hey, how do you feel about being named NBA Coach of the Month in April? He just goes, nobody cares. And that's one of our favorite lines. The other one, me and our fam, I want to go home. The famous Jokic line. That's a big Shapiro. Anytime we're somewhere where we're not having a good time or somebody gets the accent, I need to go home. When is parade? Parade Wednesday? No, I need to go home. So anyway, in case you're wondering, all right, give me 3 things that are going to happen in the NFL this year. These you want to go back and forth, 1-1-1-1-1, and why don't we do that?
Okay.
It's my show. I get to decide. Go ahead. What's your first
one? I'm going to start here after what we saw from Cam Little in the preseason game. Jaguars kicker hits a 70-yarder. I think Jake Bates of the Lions is also a potential contender, and who knows who else steps up. I think there's going to be a new record for longest field goal set this season.
All right.
The current record is 66 yards. Someone will top that.
All right. Mike McDaniel will be fired, and Tyreek Hill will not finish the season as a member of the Miami Dolphins. I just think the writing's on the wall there. You know, they're trying to make nice and talk nice about Mike McDaniel, who went from really quirky and interesting to really uninspiring. He's not the evil genius anymore, but he's one of the first head coaches fired. Dolphins going to have a bad year.
Yeah, that stuff only works when you're winning, the Mike McDaniel stuff.
Yeah, that's when you're the evil genius.
It only works
genius,
when you're
right?
winning.
All right, what do you got?
Browns are going to start at least three different quarterbacks this season. They'll start with Flacco. They'll realize that's not a good answer. They'll Kenny Pickett or Dylan Gabriel. They'll realize that's no good either. And Shador, I think we'll get six-plus starts by the end of this thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that's – I mean, it's because he's a fourth or fifth stringer, but I wouldn't say that's totally going on the limb.
Like, no.
But I absolutely agree. If you looked at Shador Sanders, like, what do you make from scrimmages like this? What do you make from preseason? Not a lot. I take a lot watching Shador Sanders last Friday night.
Well, it's also what you take away knowing about him from college.
Yes, exactly.
And some of the things I liked in college that I didn't like specifically about the guy that's on our field today, not Penix. I'm talking about Cam Ward, who had a dreadful day yesterday. There are things I really like about Shador. And I think it translated in that game last week. Did you see the number, by the way? 2.2 million people tuned in to a preseason game.
Wow.
That's a Shador thing.
No doubt.
Because that ain't about the
Browns. Dude, I came
home
on Friday night, and I was must-see TV is how Shador Sanders is going to perform.
2.2 million.
Hey, my next NFL is the Pittsburgh Steelers and Aaron Rodgers.
Uh-oh.
It will work.
Whoa.
It's going to work.
Whoa.
They will contend for the division. All this talk. Aaron Rodgers did not look bad back into the year last year with the Jets. Arthur Smith is actually the right guy for him because they are not going to do anything more than just play smart football. I think it's enough about the malign of the much maligned Mike Tomlin. I think the Steelers are a beast this year. They are in the hunt to win the division. The Aaron Rodgers experiment is an absolute thumbs up for Pittsburgh.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
I would have gone the total opposite way.
Because you're being cliche.
I would have
gone being
the total
opposite. Everyone's like, oh, how's Aaron Rodgers going to get along with Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith, two no-nonsense guys?
It's not from that perspective. He already got stepped on yesterday.
Listen,
there was a little scared. He's all right,
just
I guess.
Check in with me in 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And I want you to walk in the studio and be like, Stakey, you're on it. And just give me a fist bump.
I will.
Will you?
I will.
How
but
many
I will
weeks
say this.
In? How many weeks in?
8 weeks.
Okay.
That's what you said.
Yeah, give me 8 weeks when they're 5-3 and you go, Stakey, you were right on this.
Well, we'll look at the schedule and see how they
got
to 5-3. I will say this. Doesn't it feel with Aaron Rodgers that it's one or the other? It either completely works out and they're outstanding and they're winning the – or it's a total bomb.
Or he doesn't make it through. Yeah.
It doesn't feel like there's much middle ground for like, yeah, they were 10-7. 9-8.
Well, 10-7 would be a pretty good
10-7 might be all right. Well,
all right. Give me number three, please.
Receivers finally going to top 2,000 yards. I think someone's going to top 2,000
yards. Is that Jamar? Is that Justin Jefferson?
If I had to pick one, I'm going to say Jamar Chase. But I think Jefferson's in play. Honestly, we don't know how it goes. I think Bajon's in play. Or, excuse me, I think Drake London's in play.
Dude, Drake London looks so good. Hey, I'll give you quarterback controversy, one of the big ones, is going to be in L.A., where Stetson Bennett and Jimmy Garoppolo are going to be battling. At some point, Stafford's going to go down. I think they're going to
He might already be down.
Well, we know that he's down now, but they
yeah.
say he's going to be back. But I think Jimmy Garoppolo is there as a backup for a reason, and I think that Sean McVay is going to make a decision on Stetson or Garoppolo at some point. Would not be surprised to see my old friend Stetson Bennett under center. You got any more, or are we done?
I wanted to say that the Saints will go 0-17.
So I have the Saints as mine, too. They're going to – maybe the best play on the board, and I'm not even kidding, is under 5.5 for the Saints.
I looked at
agree?
The schedule. They keep getting injured along the offensive line. The quarterback situation terrible. They may go 0-17.
Well, they're not going to, and nobody does that. But
which is why I didn't add this.
You and I agree. Under 5.5, I don't see many W's at all. That's maybe the worst personnel, the quarterback situation. I'm going to revel in watching the Saints just unravel this season.
Agreed.
So
agreed.
It's good that we landed on the same place.
Yeah.
That's guarantees the NFL. We'll do that again next week if we're together, right? Does that feel okay?
Sounds good.
Yeah, this hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. When we come back, we got to do some college football. I did this poor guy here, but I did watch more. Yes, I did. I tried. I didn't feel good yesterday. I don't think anybody cares. Like Joe Mazzulla said, nobody cares. I went home. I got in my pajama pants, my comfy pants, because I knew I had to be tip-top for last night. and I turned on Any Given Saturday. And even though you keep, you know, kind of blowing it off, I saw some things really interesting. 10 o'clock hour, we're going to play a cut for you that I think is very indicative of college football. When we come back, though, what's happening in the SEC? What else are we doing for college football?
Yeah, there's something going on around Oklahoma I think a lot of people can relate to, but it also, if it devolves into a situation that could cost their quarterback the season, it would be a huge deal. Oklahoma's a big sleeper for a lot of people, myself included. We'll tell you exactly what happened coming up.
All right, thank you. Live at Falcons, Sports Radio 929. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro and Abe Gordon. Shout out to folks back at school this week. My son started high school this morning.
I never understood the midweek start.
Yeah.
Wednesday.
Orientation-ish stuff last 2 days. But you get right in the thick of it. I'm like, dude, what's up with the summer reading? It's like you just started like 2 days ago. You've had the whole summer. He's like, it's cool, Dad. It's cool. So yesterday he's found that show Prison Break, I guess.
Okay.
So he's watching Prison Break yesterday afternoon, and he's like, yeah, I did my math, and I need a, what the hell did he call it? I need a mental health break for a second. I go, what? Mental health, Dad. You know, man, I went hard here. Now I need to get a little break. Then I go back to the summer reading. I go, uh-huh, right. How about here's another theory. Just go upstairs and finish the 47 pages that you've had 4 months for. What the hell's going on here, right?
Well, and the problem with a show like Prison Break, especially, I'm assuming he's never seen it. It's
no.
His first watch. It's not something that can be on in the background while you're reading and it's kind of there. Like, you have to pay attention to it.
Slim, you agree with that?
Like, Yeah, you got to catch that show. You can't.
So
just...
is it, well, I wasn't a Prison Break guy. I'm a big TV consumer. Is that just a lot going on in that show?
Yeah. There's a lot of storylines weaving and woven together that you need to be following.
How many filet mignons, 1 to 5, would you give Prison Break?
Prison Break is pretty good. It got a little wasted towards
Slim,
too many seasons. But first 2 seasons.
1 to what?
5 filet mignons.
About 4.
I was going to say 3.8. So, yeah.
Okay.
It went on too long. It got congested by the end. But the first 2 seasons were outstanding. So,
are we hearing something in the background? Are we, Bobo, what's going on? Are we? I'll do whatever we're told. Are we doing a tailgate? Are we?
We're going to get to a tailgate. But I do want to say this here, Steak.
Yeah.
It's our last day here at Falcons training camp. And it's been a great couple of weeks here watching. It's a great practice to watch, but it's our last day here, which means we're not far from cutdown day. It's a day every pro football player dreads, but it's a day that you, the listener, doesn't have to dread, because Sports Radio 92.9 is celebrating cutdown day in style with a chance for you to cut down your yard August 27th at 4 p.m. That's when the pro football cut deadline hits, and we're going to be giving one lucky listener a Rolux reel mower. It's a chance to win the ultimate tool to cut down your yard in style. For contest rules and to enter for cut down day, visit 92.9thegame.com.
So, quick shout out, as I was mentioning, folks getting back to school, families getting back in their routine, make sure you listen to the Odyssey app. You can listen to the show at any time, any show. You'll take your nighttime walk, 6 o'clock, you want to see what Stakey and the boys had to say, check us out on the Odyssey app. Follow us on social media. I got some stuff from last night, Teddy Swims concert, if anybody wants to check that out. And I'm sure I'll be consuming a very large sandwich at some point as well. Listen, out there, there's a doctor that is helping with clinical trials cure cancer.
Okay.
There are, great, financial minds that are trying to figure out, how to put our economy in the right place. And then there's a guy like me. We all have our gift. I'm eating a patty melt. So in a lot of ways, we're all contributing to society. That's my gift. Follow me at Steak Shapiro. Let's talk for a second about Falcons, then we'll get to some college football in a little bit. We'll talk about that Oklahoma situation. Obviously, the juice of Jeff Albrecht is something that everybody feels. No question, feels like there's an upgrade in the defensive coordinator position. And despite a absolutely nightmarish scenario on draft night, Jeff Albrecht, that was a rough start to his tenure here.
But the reality is he's very much respected. He spoke yesterday after the Titans and Falcons had their co-practice, and he laid it out there pretty simple that he thinks his team is ready to get after it, and Friday night will be an example of that.
Yeah, I thought as a collective group, I thought the style of play jumped off. The strain, the effort was there from the jump. And I really felt that even as the game went along and we surrendered some points and maybe didn't play as well as we'd like, the strain never faltered. I felt like the physicality was there. The intent to be violent was there from the beginning. The execution piece, so heart, mind, fist. We talk about it every single day. The mind piece was not where it needs to be.
Heart, mind, fist, right? And what is it about violence? What did he say? Desire to be violent or whatever that was?
Yeah, and I think you look at it, and the fascinating thing to me is, all right, you saw it from the second team. We're not really going to be able to see that from the first team until it's week
see
one.
It today.
Well, kind of. You're not full-on hitting.
No, and you're not bringing guys to the ground necessarily. But we're not going to have a lot of chances to see them against anybody after today.
No, but I think you do like what you saw Friday night. This was a defense, especially a defensive front, that certainly had the desire to affect the quarterback, certainly had a desire to turn the ball over. We saw some sacks, some sack fumbles. We saw a ball punched out here and there. If the first team can recreate the feel that the second team had last Friday night against the Lions, I think you feel pretty good.
Also, defensive positions that may be up for grabs, especially with rookies trying to take the opportunities given to them to be a starter in the National Football League. He did not back away from saying, absolutely, there are some battles going on.
Three or four? Yeah, three or four. And they're awesome battles. It's like, as I look at it, it's not – I hope one of these guys emerges. It's like we're going to be good in that spot regardless of who wins, you know, and these competitions are making every guy better, you know. It's just they're elevating on a daily basis, and it's amazing what competition does to people, as we all know.
Yeah, I think the one that really jumps out to me in terms of depth is that safety. I think we all saw on Friday night stake what DeMarco Helms can bring from a physical standpoint. I think there's Xavier Watts is in this discussion. I know he's been a little bit limited due to injury at times as well. The rookie out of Notre Dame, though, who I believe is one of the best safeties to come out of that draft. And so I agree with Ulbrich. You line up guy A or guy B. If something happens, you feel good about guy C as well. Once we have depth up front, and I think we also finally have some depth in the secondary.
Well, I mean, it was a light draft in terms of how many picks we had. Will this be Terry Fontenot's crowning moment of three or four starters early in their careers coming out of the draft, especially when you think about where they went, which was Tennessee, Georgia, Notre Dame, and Oklahoma, right?
Yeah, so, for Billy Bowman, absolutely. Yeah. And again, I don't know if they're going to be starting. I think contributing is probably a better word because of the rotation you're going to have at pass rusher, right? I don't know if James Pearson, Jaylen Walker are both technically snap one of week one they're on. But you understand they're going to get rotated in and try and make some moves. And I think if those guys, Billy Bowman, Xavier Watts, that they contribute, along with some of the guys, and you were talking about it in the break there, Brandon Dorlus, Braylon Trice, if some of these guys from a couple of drafts ago, Rook, who's had a great camp as well, there's some real potential for things to feel and seem a lot better in regards to Terry Fontenot's recent drafts than a lot of people feel right now.
Completely unproven.
I mean,
Terry Fontenot's got a group that's completely unproven.
Yeah.
If I'm assessing him and the job he has done as general manager, those guys are absolutely critical to him making his case one way or another. And if I'm Arthur Blank and that does not materialize, the Brandon Dorlus of the world, the Braylon Trices of the world, Rook Arojo, you know, if that doesn't materialize, those are some high draft picks that you had high intentions for them, and desperately they need to build a pass rush and be better on defense. I mean, it's very clear, you know, we can talk about this till I'm blue in the face. They've got studs on the offensive side of the ball. They've got some of the best offensive line work in the league. Just look at the tape from last year. Look at, you know, their star running back and receiver. That group that Terry has drafted has to emerge.
Yeah, and I think there's a coverall for all of them if they don't, and that's Michael Penix. Right? I think there is potential of a jump to be taken from Penix. And again, we don't know. We've seen three games. You can't say this confidently.
It's why Tampa is so fascinating.
Right.
Because folks are saying don't go to sleep on Tampa as an NFC contender. I mean, there are folks who are saying, like, that division is always a fait accompli. It's the Bucs and everybody else scratching and clawing from behind. I don't think that's the case. But, again, if Michael Penix is just ordinary,
right,
that's absolutely going to be the case. All right, let's do some college football on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Steak, you ever use Venmo?
Yeah, sure.
So one of the things that frustrates me about Venmo is I can't just send or receive money. You have to attach a message with that as to what it was for.
Yeah.
It's for pizza,
refreshments,
night out, movies,
soccer whatever. Night, whatever.
You have to write or add some sort of
emoji
text
even. Or,
So a lot of people use emojis, and it is that use now that has got Oklahoma quarterback John Mateer in some real trouble right now. He's expected to be investigated for allegations related to gambling after screenshots of his Venmo account went public. A couple of things. If you're a collegiate athlete, put your Venmo on private. Honestly, most people should have it on private, but that's neither here
nor there. I'm always fascinated the transactions I'm able to see that people don't put it on private.
Right.
And I'm like, uh-huh.
Like, what are you
Looks
doing?
Like you had a good time in Lake Tahoe at that casino, my friend.
Well, but here's the thing. Maybe they did have a good time, and maybe it's just an emoji that doesn't really state what the
what
money
was his
for.
Emoji?
So Mateer clarified to Oklahoma officials that he has never bet on sports. He says the screenshots are not accurate portrayals of the transactions, inside jokes between friends. And honestly, it's very easy for me, Steak, to believe that. Because I almost never put, unless I'm sending money to my mom, my dad, or my sister, I almost never put an emoji reflective of what was actually being paid for accurately. I you know, we all do the same dumb emojis, right? A peace
how
sign,
much money,
a grape.
Much money was it, and what was the emoji?
I don't have that information.
Right.
But
enough that it's put up some
It's definitely got officials looking at it, and now there's going to be the investigation, and we'll see if it ultimately impacts the season. I as much or more than anyone else here at the station, Stake, I've been very high on Oklahoma. I think John Mateer comes in as one of the three best quarterbacks in the SEC. I think he's a dark horse Heisman candidate. I think Oklahoma's got an outside shot to make the playoffs. Difficult schedule, but I still think they can do that. He's not alone in terms of transfers. I think Ott from Cal, the running back, also has a role here. All that is off the table, in my opinion, if John Mateer is not able to go. You got to remember, Jackson Arnold was the five-star who started for Oklahoma a number of games. He transferred out. I think he's now at Auburn. You don't trust what they have at quarterback right now unless it's John Mateer.
Speaking
this
of,
could play pretty big.
Yeah, speaking of trust, a quarterback, the University of Michigan, obviously trying to get back on track. They did have a highlight last year, of course, once again beating the Buckeyes. Michigan says they don't have a starting quarterback name just yet.
Well, they may have one, but they're not going to make it public. And I don't really understand it. It's one thing for Ohio State to do this when you're dealing with Texas coming in. This is New Mexico you're facing. Like, go ahead and name your starting quarterback and move on. This week,
how's Michigan going to be this year?
I'll let you know when I find out who their starting quarterback
okay.
is. I would imagine, in my opinion, it's going to be Bryce Underwood.
Well, obviously, a lot of folks feel like they're looking up at Penn State and Ohio State and Oregon. So
I think all that's true.
Yeah, coming off a national title 1 year ago. And obviously trying to find their way last year. They've got a Big Ten that is top heavy, and we'll see what the Wolverines have in store as well. That is the tailgate. When we come back, this was fascinating to me. I saw it on social media a number of places. I watched it when I watched Any Given Saturday yesterday. Why the conflict of interest of paying college kids, paying high school kids, and paying, well, you know, coaches and players, all has come together for a messy situation. Wait till you hear this cut from Brian Kelly, the head coach of LSU. If you haven't already heard it, if you're out there on social, you've probably seen it. If you haven't, that's what we're here for. Steak and Abe, live at Falcons, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is a great day to be out at Atlanta Falcons training camp. It's our last day of the year here. Is that correct?
That is right.
You're kind of in the management. You're kind of tight with management. Is that safe to say? You know, pretty close to Bo and Mike Conti. And, you know, you're like a pseudo program director type. Is that fair to say?
If you want to throw me in there, that's fine. I think everyone has the opportunity to see the same emails I do. I think I just read more than most.
You do a great outline for the show. I appreciate that. You got a future in this business, young man. I've hired some folks over the years. Just want to tell you.
Well, so, I appreciate that. Yeah. It is a great day. It's 76 degrees.
Yeah, no, this is awesome today.
Cloud cover's nice. Sun's not beating down on you.
I'm going to be out there today. I freed up my schedule. I know you're excited about that. So I will be out there providing astute analysis. I like to go up to guys who played in the NFL, like Dave Archer and Mike Johnson and Randy, and I like to cozy up because I played a little ball at the JCC, and I like to just give them my own takes on what I'm seeing in practice, you know. I think they really find that helpful to really break down what's happening in an NFL scrimmage.
I'm going to be out there too, so I might eavesdrop.
Do you not notice my attempts at sarcasm? Because every time I put one out there, you just stare.
Are you really not going to stick around?
No, I'm going to stick around.
Okay. Well, that
but nobody wants to hear what I have to say.
Oh no! I let that one go.
And when I said to you that my gift is I rate patty melts again, no reaction. Thanks to Slim here, it gives me the laugh right in the background.
Well,
people think may believe that's actually, you know, that I think I'm contributing to society. But whatever, listen, we're learning about each other.
In my head, I was dialing up a cholesterol joke, but you're actually in pretty good shape,
yeah.
So that might have fallen flat.
All right, so a couple of things. Braves last night. There is no question that Spencer Strider ain't right.
Right.
There is no question that if I am running the Atlanta Braves and I start to really take a hard look at an organization that, you know, I think we all agree their farm system is not in a good place at all. One of the lowest rated farm systems in baseball right now. So then you had the long-term deals that you did with Ozzie and Austin and Olson and Acuna and Michael Harris, and you said this is our core, and you try to think about this is going to be the aberration, right? This is the aberration this season more than anything else. Then, you know, a lot of that has to do with saying, well, next year we're going to have Chris Sale. We're going to have Spencer Strider right. We're going to have Schwellenbach. We're going to have A.J. Smith-Shawver or whatever, however you put this rotation. I think they're going to go out and get a frontline starter also. But I would be real concerned of wondering where we are with Spencer Strider. Get absolutely shelled. Didn't have anything last night.
No, only two strikeouts. Gave up three home runs, eight hits, eight runs in just four innings.
Disaster.
And it's one of those things where you're like, you sit there and say, okay, we know he had this procedure. We know guys get to wherever they're going to get to on different timelines. Is this it for him? Is this all he's going to be now? Or is there a leash here and you expect him to come back with another couple of months recovery into next season, being a little bit closer to the guy that entered last year as the overwhelming Cy Young favorite? He was the number one favorite to win the Cy Young last year. He pitches one game, gets hurt, and that's that. He's not anywhere near that form. His best outing this year came against, you guessed it, the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah.
13 strikeouts.
Listen,
we haven't seen that.
I think that he is playing mental gymnastics when you listen to him saying, I had decent stuff two starts ago, and he's like, Brewers just hit me. Hats off to them. He's trying to not be overly. Someone told him, you got to stop beating on yourself. The last night was the night you want to do that. He was just awful. And I would be very concerned as you look at the landscape of what the Braves' future looks like and how we indeed make 2025 an aberration. Chris Sale, who gets the start last night, was it? Did he pitch Gwinnett situation? And regardless, he wants to be back because he's a, you know, frontline pitcher and wants to keep putting himself out there. I would see no reason why he would get moved. He throws two innings last night in his rehab start for the Braves. But, you know, the only way you get back in this thing next year is to have frontline pitching. And Spencer Strider is a part of the equation that right now, that's what I'd be concerned if I was Terry McGuirk and Alex Anthopoulos. Just putting that out there as well. They're back at it again today. Mets have lost 11 of 13, but they get the W last night.
Yeah, David Peterson tonight against Carlos Carrasco.
Journeyman Carrasco. All right.
Well, he was good for a while.
Yeah.
Cleveland.
He's a journeyman.
He's turned into that. Yeah, he's turned into
so,
that.
So, Brian Kelly. So, what's interesting about this show that's now trending high on Netflix and top 10 show any given Saturday is who decided to participate and who did not. Here's who did not. Texas and Sarkisian. Kirby Smart and Georgia. And Alabama and Kalen DeBoer. They did not let the cameras in. They did not give Grant you know, permission to be a part of this thing. Brian Kelly certainly trying to tell the LSU story. A lot of these seven episodes are in Baton Rouge with a season where they won six in a row and then thought they were headed to the playoffs and then it went south. Brian Kelly trying to show a softer image, talking about how he cares about his players, talking about his dream of being at LSU. At some point, he is on the phone in his car, and he's talking to his agent, and he's trying to figure out if his quarterback, Nussmeier, is going to be back next year. It's an awkward conversation, and we'll explain why, but here it is.
I sent you a text. I just want to figure out the best way for us to do this.
We got to figure out, like, if it's a third-round draft pick, you're going to break even. So, you know, I mean, let's get the data together. So, you know, if you're not going to make money on this, let's see how this works for both of us, right?
Look, everybody's got to do the best they can for their clients. I think everybody understands that.
For us, we're trying to protect guys that can help us win. Let's work together. That's all I'm saying.
That's his agent, Trace Armstrong. Here's the issue.
Yeah.
They're trying to figure out if they can get Nussmeier to come back. He's a huge part of LSU's plans. He's going to need to be paid. He's also going to need an honest assessment from an agent. But here's the challenge. Trace Armstrong is the agent for Brian Kelly as well. So it serves him to keep his kid at LSU potentially because that's going to help his client, Brian Kelly. But then there is a conflict of interest of if leaving LSU is going to hurt his client, Brian Kelly, that's just part of it. It's just a very tangled web they weave in that conversation in walking the tightrope between what's best for the kid and what's best for my client and trying to, you know, navigate that space. It's weird to me.
Well, I think it could be more weird with a different head coach. It sounded to me, Steak, and let me know if you felt had the same takeaway, I felt like Brian Kelly was legitimately advocating what was ever going to be best for Nussmeier. He wasn't over the top like, I don't care what the NFL draft says. You got to get this guy to come back to LSU. I think there are coaches who will approach it from that manner no matter what. I think Kelly was said, hey, man, this is not a first-round guy right now. I think you should come back to LSU. We can develop and get you there. It works for both sides. You're not going to get the money you want on your rookie deal. We can give you something here.
Yeah, I guess maybe.
I felt he was open to the idea of if Nussmeier got the right grades, leave. But if he doesn't, then come back.
And I would agree that it is not. Listen, they wouldn't have shown it if it was super uncomfortable. You know, it just wouldn't have made the show.
Right.
You know, it's no different than what Mike Krzyzewski or Nick Saban or other guys have navigated for years, which is if you're a top 10 pick, I can't sit here and tell you not to go to the NBA or the NFL because that's going to hurt me down the line as I try to recruit NBA and NFL players. So Brian Kelly is staying true to that. Say if it's a third-round situation, it's even. Come back here. Money will be same, similar, probably more money at LSU. But you never hear Brian Kelly, if he was a top 10 pick, say, I really need this kid back. Now, that may happen off camera.
Internally, yeah.
Yeah, but it is a peculiar situation how incestuous the kid asking for the money, the coach needing him back to secure his job, how they're represented by the same people. It's not necessarily unprecedented, but it's one of the things that jumped out at me in the documentary. Is that something else that you're navigating? You know, is Kirby Smart? Now, it's different. Kirby Smart's job security is at 100%. If there's guys that's job security is somewhere else, Sam Pittman, for instance, at Arkansas, who you see a bunch of there, and you know, you have a kid that's thinking about the portal and going to be paid more somewhere else, but he shares the same agent as Sam Pittman, that agent also knows that exit may be the demise of my client. So at some point, the stuff does get a little funky.
Well, it's really just tough to have this client-attorney privilege, which is probably what you want if you're the head coach, but also what you want if you're the player. I'll be honest, Steak, like, and I'm not in this position, but if I were, I don't know if I'd want an agent that also represents coaches. But for a couple of different reasons. One, because of the commentary that could be leaked off of my conversations with my agent. But also, it feels like being an agent for a player and being agent for a coach are slightly different lanes. I feel like I'd want my guy to be the best in one specific lane, not trying to meander through both.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, there's enough agents out there. I just assume it's a clean situation. If I'm a kid, I don't want to know the year. I want you 100% focused on what's going to be good for me and my family.
There should be no doubt, right?
Yeah, and that exactly right. That just elevates the opportunity to feel like, does he absolutely have my best interest, or does he know that me leaving is going to hurt his client and makes it, again, less than authentic in some cases?
Well, it's also tough to imagine that the player money coming into an agent, at least initially, is ever more than a coach. A coach has multi-million dollar contracts. I don't know what Brian Kelly's deal
well,
is,
that's
$10 million, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Nussmeier's not making $10 million.
Yeah, I mean, unlike the NBA, where there's a reason the players have all the power. They make 5, 6, 8 times more than NBA head coaches.
Right.
In college, the power still lies with the top of the line. Here's the thing with all these documentaries, and I'm pretty sure that whoever signs off on any of these, so the same thing with QB, right? You tell me, because we don't really know, who has ultimate edit control? Did Kirk Cousins
yes.
have to okay everything that gets in that show?
Two parties have to. Kirk Cousins need to give approval, and the Falcons as well also get a chance to have
on
some
every one of those
to have some editorial.
Yeah, and I would imagine that Ole Miss and Auburn and LSU and Arkansas, it's the exact same thing, which is why you see Hugh Freeze and his Bible verses carrying on there at Auburn. Brian Kelly and his sing-song talking about, I grew up in Chelsea, Massachusetts. I'm a blue-collar kid, but I love these. Like, it's all kind of a watered-down version of exactly what might be going on. Because, again, at the end of the day, Georgia, Bama, and Texas say, we're not going to get any control because you're not even coming to our place. They need to make a show, so they got to tell all those schools, including Arkansas and Vanderbilt. Of course, Vanderbilt wants to be front and center there. But keep in mind, every one of them, I believe, has sign-off on what gets on and what doesn't.
You have to, because obviously this is being filmed as it happens. You just can't go not
Lifetime.
Knowing what the season
yep.
looks like.
You know what's surprising? That over the years, there has not been some kind of a scandalous leak of something that some of these guys, remember, these camera guys are privy to way more than we're ever going to see, and that we've never seen, whether it's a coach putting a hand on a player, whether it's something that was deemed abusive in a meeting room. Like, you've never really seen, best stuff I've ever seen was the stuff at Falcons, and who was it was laying into?
Have to imagine everyone involved, cameraman,
oh my God,
producers,
for sure.
All have very harsh NDAs.
Probably, and yes. Probably just like...
Beyond jobs on the line, lawsuits.
Yeah.
I mean,
it has to
sure.
be because, same as reality television, how nothing leaks on these massive shows where you don't get...
But that's also not real. I mean, this is real life. This is out of their control. I think the reality but shows, to an extent...
If you're on one of those shows
yeah.
and you reveal who are finalists or whatever it is, which never happens. There's well, but massive
you,
lawsuits.
You do catch one every once in a while because all of this stuff is filmed in advance.
Yes.
It won't come from the producers or people involved with the network. But you'll see, like, just a fan taking a picture in
people.
The Bahamas like, hey, contestant one's with Chick B.
Yeah.
That must have been how it went down
you
in
just
the Bahamas.
Said it, the repercussions of leaking anything like that,
yeah.
I totally agree. There must be massive financial stipulations and NDAs attached to it as well. So I'll keep watching any given Saturday. If you get a chance, I think you'd get a kick out of it as well, a trip through the SEC. When we come back, we're going to belly up to the bar. Tom Brady tells you what he thinks Bill Belichick might do at Carolina. Also, strange gambling conversation that I haven't heard yet, and if somebody knows a lot about the sports gambling world, I think you're going to want to hear this, right? You were kind of perplexed by it. No?
I don't know where you're headed with this one.
The NBA, Michael.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a wild admittance, I guess, would
yeah.
be part of it.
It's a wild take that nobody from the NBA wants to hear. We'll do that. Plenty more from Falcons. We'll tell you what to expect with Titans and Falcons today on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 929, the game. We're at the Falcons. That's what's happening. It's the fastest 2 hours. It's just moving. It's like just lickety-split. That's an old person's term, huh? Hey, it's moving lickety-split, I tell you. That's what's happening here on the steakhouse. Abe's sitting next to me, and it's a beautiful day here. Go watch Titans and Falcons. Go head-to-head here. Great recap that Mike Johnson and Abe gave us this morning at the top of the show. I like that. Also gives me a break. I can just, like, relax and let you two guys talk, think about what I'm going to have for lunch and stuff like that. Not that I wasn't listening to you, but, like, I always got to figure out, you know, where my next meal is coming from. It was an emotional morning, though, for Allie. Mac, did you hear her talking about the closing of Murph's, which was a sports bar that they used to go to for years, I guess?
Yeah, they're doing a bunch of new construction there at the Cobb Galleria.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, they need a little facelift over there. It's hard for me to talk about, but I've been through something like that myself years ago, man, and it's hard to relive it. You know what I mean?
You're gonna be all right. Have you recovered?
Houston's on Lenox closing. It rocked my world, dude, to its core. You know what I mean?
I know this is not a great solution, but there's another one just a little further down Peachtree.
I know. It's just not the same, dude. I had so many memories.
Like six extra minutes.
So many
car,
moments.
Man.
So many moments, dude. Like when one of your favorite restaurants closes, there's an emptiness there. And it might be a three strikes question. Do you remember any restaurant that you cared about their closing? Or is that not something that would
answer? Here's the problem, and here's why I can't always relate to you. All of my answers to this are fast food chains. They're all fast food chains.
Closed, though?
Yeah, man. When the Arby's on Jet Ferry went bye-bye.
What was your go-to Arby's order?
Two beef and cheddars, medium fries.
Listen, for a guy that's running a half marathon, I'm just going to say the sauce they use on the beef and cheddar.
I don't eat it while training.
Yeah, no, I know.
Might be a post-race meal.
So your dad, you know, you grew up in a Jewish family, right?
I did.
And your dad does not seem to be a guy that was that focused on meals. Because you know the joke about the Jews is Jackie Mason, famous Borscht Belt comedian. You know what the Borscht Belt is down here or not?
That's
the Catskills, these hotels up in northern New York where they'd have these Jewish comics. Henny Youngman, Jackie Mason.
Okay,
And he'd say, he had a Broadway show, and he'd say, the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews weren't eating breakfast. We start talking about when we're going to have lunch. We're having lunch. We're talking about what are we going to have for dinner. We're having dinner. I said, what are we going to have for a pastry? That's all we talk about. And the Gentiles, where are we going to get a drink? Where are we going to get a drink? Hey, I'll meet you. Where are we going to get a drink? You know, stereotypes exist for a reason, but we are obsessed with food. I get a sense your dad was not one of those guys.
No, and maybe some of it was his training. He was a very competitive runner back in the day. My dad was happy.
Did your grandparents take you anywhere?
So my grandparents, my
restaurant in Atlanta.
Well, they lived in Boca.
Oh, of course.
So we went to some good spots.
Your grandparents in Boca?
Yeah, we went to some good spots there in Boca.
But yeah,
they did it well.
Yeah, when you say to me, I mean, I know Rusty, if he's listening, or Sandra. When I say to you, was there ever a restaurant that closed that hurt your heart?
Well, that's why I didn't want to answer this.
Listen, we're going to put it out there. I'm not. I don't want to.
Because I knew you'd react this way.
I mean, I know maybe I'm a little too bougie at times, but we're different ages, right? And, you know, the closing of Murph's, you know, there are restaurants that are party community. I'm going to tell you this about COVID. There were more people worried about local restaurants. Like, Delta could have furloughed 40,000 jobs, and all anybody cared about was, like, the local tavern up the street and, like, go buy toilet paper there and buy your booze there just to keep them going. Like, these places have a connection to folks.
I specifically bought probably a meal a week from the Bird.
Oh, yeah. Oh, in Dunwoody?
During COVID. Yeah.
In Dunwoody.
Yeah. I had
That's
a meal a week
spot.
Takeout
yep.
During COVID because
with
I was friends with the servers there and I didn't want anything to happen to
it. All right. That's fair.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll have that coming up in three strikes. Restaurant that closed that hurt your heart. Falcons and Titans today. Yesterday, if you hadn't heard the beginning of the show, sounds like Drake London and Bijan were the two best players on the field for both teams. Is that safe to say?
Well, it definitely wasn't Cam Ward, if that's what you're asking.
What happened
with Cam
Ward
yesterday?
He had a rough
day. A lot of interceptions. At least two of them went for touchdowns going the other way. But, no, I agree with you. Drake London on the first route that I saw just wins his route straight up. On the second route stake, he's covered. And he straight mosses one of those.
So what he did to A.J. Terrell last week right in front of us.
And then, unfortunately, for whatever safety or linebacker has to try and stick with Bijan, as soon as he puts his foot in the ground on a route, he's open. They just can't stick with him when he cuts.
What level of concern do you have about the Falcons' depth? Because our front line, everybody can say that, right? Their front line, one receiver, one back, and one quarterback, although we actually have the best backup quarterback in the league, arguably. But are you concerned with depth at all on the offensive side? I think, obviously, was it Dwayne Washington that has shown out at camp?
Casey Washington.
Yeah. When you have 17 games, listen, there's going to be a huge injury for the Atlanta Falcons that we're going to be like, that's the last thing we needed. That's what happens in the NFL season. I'm not jinxing them. Same's going to happen to the Buffalo Bills, and the same's going to happen to the L.A. Chargers. There's going to be a big injury that we worry about. Question is, are we built with enough depth on both sides of the ball to handle whatever's going to come our way? That's roster building. Did you build a roster that can handle the fluidness of the injury situation?
And I hate to waffle on your answer, but when it comes to the offense, the concern about depth at the receiver position kind of revolves around what we get out of Kyle Pitts, doesn't it? Because how much are you really kind of relating to the fact that you need a number two and a number three receiver? Or can you run an offense that is Drake, Bijan, and Pitts heavy?
I mean, Kyle Pitts.
Remember, he started the camp this
few years ago.
A lot of noise, and he's been quiet since.
A few years ago, 68 catches, 7 touchdowns. Is that perfect for him? Are you happy with just that, right? Not getting near 80, 90. If he's right around 60 or 70, obviously they're going to be double-teaming Drake London like crazy. Just look at the preseason. Look at him here.
Right.
I mean, are you fine with that?
I think so, and I also am interested to see in what Ray-Ray McCloud can do, because Ray-Ray McCloud was lost to injury last year as well.
And he's had a good camp.
He's been outstanding since day one. And I think if you get Mooney back along with Ray-Ray, great. If you don't for a while, I think Ray-Ray can fill in as a number two admirably.
All right, let's do a quick belly up to the bar. We're going to save the gambling cut from Michael Porter Jr. because it's worth really going more in depth. So we'll just talk about the ACC and prognostication of anybody other than Clemson and how wide open that is. Obviously, outside the playoffs, but with a shot, most folks obviously say Miami. SMU was there last year, so bringing back Kevin Jennings. Miller Moss, transfer from USC, is at Louisville. And then they list Georgia Tech, obviously, with Haynes King and that game against Georgia that went to the 8 overtimes, and saying that obviously the personnel is there. A rising star in Buster Faulkner probably won't be there long. And then you get to North Carolina, where nobody has much of an idea what Bill Belichick has in store for the ACC, including Tom Brady, his former elite quarterback.
What they're going to get is obviously the most prepared, the most hardworking coach that I'd ever been around. If you go to that school, you will be prepared to play at the next level. He's going to teach you the right fundamentals, the right techniques. He's going to have a high expectation for you, and you're going to develop a lot. That's what I know. He is so smart with how he approaches defensive schemes and offensive schemes, and how much can these young kids retain.
The greatest fall from grace over a 3-year period. Would you agree with that? Can you remember a sports icon that has basically been humiliated any worse than him of late?
Not without something illegal happening.
I'm rooting so hard against Bill Belichick, and if anybody listened to me over the years, yeah, I'm a typical New England guy that bowed to the greatness of Brady and Belichick, but this buffoonery of him of late. I hope the ACC teaches him a lesson. I hope that Bill Belichick gets rolled here. Should he have been the Falcons' next head coach? No. His decision-making is completely off of late, not just his personal life. And those Patriots teams were really bad by the end of his run.
Yeah, so, there's no doubt about it. I think there's just too big of a gap in talent at UNC for
totally
even
agree.
Good coaching to make up that difference.
And I don't think that, recruiting. You know, if I want to go to the NFL, there's a million places I can go. Bill Belichick's not telling me something that a lot of coaches can't teach me.
And you have to ask every single year, is this guy going to be here year two, year three, year four?
All right, when we come back, I don't know how this gambling thing doesn't keep rolling downhill for the NBA and other leagues. Wait till you hear these comments from Michael Porter Jr. Bizarre. Also, three strikes. Hopefully, we can do a little better than Abe just did when I ask you a restaurant.
I stand by my answer, Steak.
A restaurant's closing that hurt your heart. That's coming up as well. Steak and Abe live at Falcons Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Late summer day at the Branch. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, about 80 degrees or so. Falcons and Titans going at it in a, workout, scrimmage, whatever you want to dub it. Breaking news from Mike Bell and other folks in terms of what's happening out on the practice field, Mr. Abe. Sounds like it was a good moment, right?
Yeah, it looks like Kyle Pitts snagged a one-hander over a defender in red zones for a touchdown. So it's funny, I just mentioned Kyle Pitts made a lot of noise the first couple of practices. Been mildly quiet ever since. Out there making some noise today, though, against the Titans.
We'll see what happens opening day, 1 o'clock, Tampa in town, and where Kyle Pitts and Michael Penix mojo ranks. Everybody optimistic for his final year. Most likely will not be back as a member of the Atlanta Falcons. So this is the year to go make something happen. And indeed, he'll be a big part of whether or not this team makes a playoff run for sure. Also give you our three strikes questions coming up in a little bit. Remind you that the 10 o'clock hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one pressure washing company. So make sure you get aboard there. You want to do our big game of the night? You feel confident about it?
Look, I'm giving you multiple choice here. So I think it's pick your own poison here. John Foy, big game of the night, presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. Normally I just say, hey, Braves, Mets, 7-10, Cookie, Carrasco, Carlos Carrasco against David Peterson. But I know how some of the fans are feeling about the Atlanta Braves right now. Can I interest you in some late-night WNBA action? The Atlanta Dream out there in Seattle taking on the Storm. It's a 10 p.m. tip out west.
Wait, is that on television somewhere?
I'd have to look.
Would I watch that?
It might be on ESPN. It probably will be locally.
Do they have a legitimate shot to win the title?
Well, they're number two right now. I didn't check the games last night. They were number two in the standings after their win the other night over Phoenix on Sunday. So they are right there. There's no doubt about it.
I got to give you credit. Nobody's ever rolled in here and put the WNBA ahead of Major League Baseball for big game of the night. Haven't seen it.
Haven't put it second.
Well, you put it second because I gave you a look, and I was like, bro, this is the steakhouse, and you're going to lead with WNBA? No disrespect, but I was like, come on, champ.
Congrats to Alicia Gray. Got her third Eastern Conference Player of the Week award for her performance this past week. Going to get some MVP talks around her.
All right. Well, leave it to you to keep us abreast, if you will, of all that. Tomorrow, by the way, we're back in studio. Smoke and Joe Patrick will be with us. Sitting alongside. Have you worked with every talent at the radio station? Have I asked you this before?
I think so, for the most part.
If you're going to walk in to a studio and you have no idea who you're co-hosting with, of every on-air personality, who is the guy you would most like to see in the seat as you walk in?
I
knew you would answer.
No.
You're hemming and hawing.
Well, because different... With different hosts, I get to play different roles, right? Like, whether I'm a one, whether I'm a two, stuff like that.
Let's assume nothing. The question is the question. You walk in, Conti says, I need you noon on Saturday. Show up at the studio. You got 4 hours. Who would you most like to see sitting in that seat? Just give us a name. This is what, you know, like, stop pussyfooting around with, like, depends on the one or the two or whatever the time of year. No. Just give me. What's the name?
Mike Johnson.
Okay, was that hard?
Not for me.
All right. Hey, here's our three strike. Restaurant closing that hurts your heart. A restaurant closing that hurt your heart. My son Bobby's first day of high school today. The worst fashion decision from your high school years. The worst fashion decision from your high school years. And the average hours of football you will watch on a Saturday. So think about, I don't know, think about 15 weeks of college football and average out. And please don't sit here and be, you know, just really think about it. Maybe you actually have to be a parent on Saturdays. You know, maybe you're in travel ball for, in a week of travel soccer, so I won't be able to watch as much. But I don't have my two girls around, so I'll get to watch more. But I really think of a number. Maybe you're one of those guys that from noon to midnight, you're literally just locked. Is that you?
Yeah. Four TVs all on.
If you have a social, if a buddy wants to have you go out and hang out on a Saturday at four to seven or eight, and there's not going to be football, and you're not going to have football where you're going,
I'll stream on my phone.
You're going to sit there and you're going to be streaming while we're together?
Mm-hmm.
Very rude, distracting. I want your time, Abe.
You know what you're
getting.
You know what you're getting. You're friends with me for one reason or another. You know what you're getting. I don't go to movies on Saturdays. You can't go to movies on Sundays because you can't lock out. You can't be in a position to lock out.
Lock out? Why can't you be in a position to lock out?
I can't be in a position where I can't stream on my phone.
You can go 3.5 hours. Say, I missed the 1 o'clock games. But
we
I'll,
can
I'll,
do that at 9 a.m.
404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Explain this Michael Porter cut. Who do you get traded for, by the way? He was on the Nuggets?
He got traded for, I think it was Cam Johnson, to the Nets.
Okay.
Along with
so
the draft
pick. Is his brother the dude who is suspended?
Yeah, his brother Jonte got suspended.
For life, maybe.
Potentially.
Yeah.
He pled guilty in the NBA betting scandal, and it's got him banned from the league currently.
Yeah, better than one of those prop bets that he was involved in, right?
Yeah, and Michael Porter went on a podcast the other day and was talking about how easy it is if you're a player to potentially set a bunch of dudes up to make money on your behalf on your own personal props.
Think about if you could get all your homies rich by telling them, yo, $10,000 on my under, you know, this one game I'm going to act like I got an injury. I'm going to sit out. I'm going to come out after 3 minutes. And they all get a little bad because you did it one game. Like, that is so not okay. But some people probably think like that. They come from nothing, and 100%. All their homies have nothing.
100%.
And they're like, bro, if I come out of this game after 3 minutes and y'all all hit on my under, we're all getting a little bad.
Well, it's funny, Steak, he said some people think like that. That's what his brother did. That he didn't mention Jonte by name. That's essentially the exact storyline of what happened with Jonte, is that there were a number of individual prop bets, and they all went under because he got hurt 10 minutes in. Air quotes hurt.
Let me just say that Adam Silver and the NBA offices, it's kind of like there is absolutely no reason to verbalize what we pretty much already know in terms of the vulnerability, but to literally speak to it in that fashion, it's a real problem. Here's the beauty of, professional or legalized gambling is the so much checks and balances that, first of all, there is no $10,000 bet on under in minutes or points that would be put in a casino that would not be flagged. Now, maybe $200, but the reason why pies get busted is because there is algorithms that suggest why was there a blip here in a somewhat innocuous 52nd game of the year between the Sacramento Kings and the Brooklyn Nets. Why did there's a little blip here on what this guy's minutes are or whatever it is, right? Immediately gets flagged. Vegas has
any
done
anomalies.
That forever.
Anomalies are going to be looked at. The payments will be withheld, and they'll get to the bottom of it before
Yeah, but just
they,
I'm saying, yeah. like, it's like no matter where that bet is put in, you want to go up to North Carolina and make one of those bets or try to, first of all, they wouldn't take a $10,000 bet on something like that. But there is, is it happening? Of course it's happening. Are guys talking to coaches and saying, what do you think about our defense day? Oh, we're going to get crushed. Next thing you know, a buddy of his says we're betting the under. I talked to one of the defensive coaches. Four guys are out we didn't know about. There's no way to protect against that stuff. But real money, they have checks and balances at an epic level to try to control that, it still is a very dangerous situation. The difference in the NBA is if you're doing it for your homeboys, that's fine, but there's so much money in the league. You want to talk about why Rob Manfred's parading around suggesting a salary cap that the Major League players will never agree to, why it could be headed for a strike? Look at those NBA contracts. Absolutely out of control.
Yeah, no doubt about it. What's fascinating for me is what is going to be talked about being pulled back. And it's so tough once something's out of the bag in terms of sports betting to limit it again. I would not be surprised if there's a fight for these individual player props to be pulled back. And all you can bet on is the team and the result.
It's too much money. The gambling companies are spending too much. They're pouring too much money into these states. It's always going to be a vulnerability. I don't see them taking it away. We shall see. All right, the restaurant closing that hurt your heart, the worst fashion decision from your high school, and the average football hours on a Saturday over the course of 16 weeks, 404-726-0929. You got a fashion decision that you look back on, Abe? You don't strike me as one that was, you know.
No, I was definitely not fashion forward, or nor did I really care.
Do you think about anything now and you go, that must have been cringy?
I didn't wear long pants a single day in high school. Just shorts the whole year.
Huh. All right.
Maybe that. I don't know.
I wore a baseball helmet.
Great calves. Gotta show them off.
I wore a baseball helmet to school for a stretch, like John Olerud.
Not a hat, like a helmet. Like a batting helmet. A fielding batting helmet.
Yeah.
Where did you even buy that?
So it was like a Twins helmet, and I don't know what I was thinking. It wasn't the whole year. Slim, what are your thoughts on here? Because I wasn't a tool, but it certainly sounds like it, right? You hung your head there. I disappoint you when you hear something like that, right?
Unbelievable.
Right?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, a helmet. And I wasn't on the short bus. I'm just being like, I don't know, dude. Flannel shirt, T-shirt under it. That was a New England thing also, but I know. Tinker in Kennesaw. Hey, Tinker, give me a restaurant closing that hurt your heart.
It was family-owned. It was at the intersection of Cheshire Bridge and Piedmont Avenue, and it was called The Pot in the Pan.
Give me the worst fashion decision from high school.
All through middle school, I busted a sag. I sagged my britches down, and that was just horrible.
And give me the average amount of hours watching football on Saturday. What would your average be in 16 weeks?
I still run calls on Saturday, but I'll at least get 4.5-5 hours in.
All right, Brad in Peachtree City, what's a restaurant closing that hurt your heart?
Local restaurant down in Coweta County called Catfish Hollow.
The worst fashion decision from high school?
I don't know what I was thinking, man, but I was a small guy and I wore large clothes, very baggy stuff.
Baggy. And how about average hours of football you'll consume on a Saturday?
I was going to say 10, but that don't sound right, man. So I'm going to say 8 or 9.
Yeah, I mean, you may have to go get a meal somewhere. Maybe, I don't know, talk to your family, you know, things like that that take your hours away. BJ in Decula. Hey, BJ, give me a restaurant closing that hurt your heart.
Steak. 285 and Moreland Avenue. It closed down about 2007. Stood for about 50 years. The Rio Vista. Legendary catfish and hush puppies, man.
I love it, buddy. Worst fashion decision from your high school, BJ?
I had this thin, cringy mustache that I just couldn't let go of my senior year of high school, and going back to my mom's house and seeing those pictures, it's awful. It was the worst.
Average football hours you'll put in on a Saturday.
So I'll watch all my dogs, and I'll probably flip around, get a couple more hours in. So I'll say about 6.
All right. That's a reasonable number. Abe, you're putting in 10 to 12, it sounds like, right?
Not 10, 12.
Guaranteed.
Whenever the games end, whenever that last game ends, maybe I don't watch Hawaii at 12:50.
Yeah.
But, from noon until whenever the last big game ends.
All right.
Every weekend.
I'm just going to suggest a little bit of a social life. I'm just going to suggest it. We'll work again. We'll talk again, right?
I hope so.
Thanks, Slim. Thanks, Bo. Tomorrow, back in studio, going to watch Falcons Titans. Listen to the station all day long. We'll update you. Thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your day. Bye.